I want to tell you about a relatively cool day for September. It was a bit on the windy side. And I ran over to the hospital again. Hadn't been here all too long, maybe a couple of months. Still had boxes that weren't unpacked. And I knew, because I had made the trip just once before, that I could get over to the hospital in 20 minutes from Wanakee if I put it to the floor. Now, when I visited with Fred earlier in the day, his Bible group had just left, and this was a bunch of men from different churches that he met with every single day. And they would read the Bible, and they'd talk about the scripture, and they'd chew on it and try to figure out what it meant, and they would pray for one another. Now, Fred attended Crossroads regularly on Sunday mornings. You may have remembered him. He came in a wheelchair, and he would sit at the back. But, you know, nothing slowed him down very much because he was still an avid golfer, and he had equipped the golf cart with something where it would prop him up so he could still golf, because he loved that. And throughout the week, he found ways to sustain himself in God's word, and the more he heard, the hungrier he got. He couldn't get enough. And this Bible group, this group of gentlemen was just leaving, and they were a talkative bunch. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they had watched the game earlier with him, and they were just smiles from ear to ear, just vibrant gentlemen. And the one patted me on the back and just about threw me in the room, and he said, "Holy ground, Padre, holy ground." He was talking about Fred's room. And Fred smiled at me and he said, "Oh, you're back." I had been there earlier in the day. He had been admitted because he had a pneumonia that he just couldn't kick. And they had told him that it was a cancer that had just spread. And he didn't have long at all. So I sat with him, and I held his hand for a little while, and he just was just beaming. And I thought, you know, for someone who's facing big news like this, he sure is at peace. And he said, "You know the best thing?" I said, "No, Fred, I don't know the best thing." And he said, "I get to tell everyone how much I love them. I get to tell everybody what they mean to me." And he squeezed my hand. And I kind of wondered if he understood, because I had talked with his family and with the doctor earlier. I wonder if he understood really how short a time he had. And he said, "Don't look so worried. Why do you look like that?" "I don't look like that. I'm putting on a new robe." He said that he had walked with the Holy Spirit all his life. And he said, "Now I get to see the Holy Spirit face to face." Fred knew his scriptures. And he knew some really important things about the Holy Spirit that gave him this peace. He knew that after Jesus left this earth, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. He said, "I will send an advocate," that he would send an advocate. So he promised this, and he did. And that the Holy Spirit, if we really pay attention to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a who. In fact, the Holy Spirit is called He in the scriptures. Holy Spirit is a person, yes, without a body, but the Holy Spirit is a person with knowledge. We know this from the scriptures. The Holy Spirit has knowledge, the ability to know, and understand and recognize. The Holy Spirit has a will, an ability to make choices and decisions. The Holy Spirit has emotion, the ability to feel and to have and express feelings. We're told in the scripture, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Fred also knew that having a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit means being filled with the power that the Holy Spirit gives. Power. And this power can transform everything about us. It's a supernatural power. It's a power that surpasses anything that comes at us in this life. Anything. Even the news that Fred got. And fourth, Fred knew how to have that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew how to walk continually in God's presence. Fred wasn't afraid. And he smiled at the peace he was feeling. Now, in my opinion, when we can face our deepest fears, the scariest thing you can imagine, the most frightening of scenarios, and we can do it with peace and joy and without fear, I would call that supernatural, superhuman. Because really, as people, as human beings, we're not that strong. We're not capable of that. Now, I know there's some who look at Christians and they think, oh, they're brainwashed, or they're completely delusional. Wow, look at how they smile like zombies. But it's not that at all. It's actually a feeling of more life. And it is knowing reality. In fact, it's knowing more than reality. It's knowing beyond what we see. As Christians, I think we tend to be more comfortable in the very tangible image of Jesus. We especially like the Brad Pitt Jesus with the blonde flowing hair. We like to picture Jesus as a solid person, because that solid person can have emotions and can speak to us. But when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, see, now we get a little nervous, because, you know, that's when people pull out words like supernatural and ghost and spirit. And I don't know, is it right to talk about these things? It absolutely is. It absolutely is, because that's who God is. And God does things beyond our understanding. And when we get to experience that, that is the relationship that God intends for us. The Holy Spirit is the indwelling of God in each of us. It's the part of God that lives and breathes in us, in every believer, and causes miracles to happen. Now, the scripture that inspired Fred and filled him with the Holy Spirit is that same scripture that for over 2,000 years inspired others and propelled them beyond their capabilities. People we know and people we don't know. You know, some have said that the difference in their life after being filled with the Holy Spirit is that beforehand they were walking clay, and afterwards they became alive. Their eyes were opened, and their hearts and their minds became vibrant. Now, think about some. Think about some folks and the incredible courage and spirit we've seen throughout history. You know, I think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What drove this man? I mean, here's a guy who quite obviously stepped out beyond his comfort zone and risked his life and spoke with such conviction. What was it that set this man on fire and gave him the courage and the peace to change the course of history and to go up against what the world was saying was right? In 1968, Dr. King delivered what would later be known as his final speech. He said, "I have been to the mountaintop." Now, I think I know what that is. I think that mountaintop is that experience with the Holy Spirit where his eyes were opened and he knew what was right. And he knew that God had him in the palm of his hand. It was in Memphis, Tennessee. And the very next day, at only 39 years of age, 39, Dr. King was assassinated while he was on the balcony of his hotel room. And his last words were spoken to his longtime friend and musician, Ben Rausch. And he said, "Ben, make sure tonight they play Take My Hand, Precious Lord. And in that meeting tonight, make sure they play it real pretty." Because he knew. He knew that God was going to be taking his hand. You know, I think about folks like J.D. Rockefeller. Now, you may immediately, what comes to mind is, he was a rich guy. He had a lot of money. Co-founder of Standard Oil, which dominated the oil industry in the late 1800s. But what a lot of people might not realize is that he was a very faithful Christian. He was a Baptist, and he was a generous one. He was a faithful tither, meaning he gave 10% of all his income. And in fact, he later went on to go beyond the 10%, above a tithe, giving money to churches, and he gave money even to help buy the freedom of slaves. But see, before he became one of the wealthiest men in history, he gave what little money he had back to the church. It was a testimony I've heard time and time again from folks who have prospered, that they didn't wait until God prospered them. They responded to God's love, and then they prospered. Florence Nightingale, remember her? She was a member of the Church of England, and she developed a close relationship there with the pastor, and he helped her to know Jesus Christ and be led by the Holy Spirit. And some say that she was absolutely tenacious and determined to fulfill her purpose. She wouldn't rest until she grabbed hold of what the Holy Spirit was guiding her to do. And she did. She did finally attain that vision and that thing that she was propelled to do, and she absolutely revolutionized nursing. Now, would you agree that each of these people, each of these brothers and sisters of ours, rose above human capability? That there is something supernatural going on? In the upcoming weeks, we're going to explore not only who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does, but why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. As for Fred, well, 6 hours after his Bible study group left, I was called back to the hospital and and we shared communion. And we had a very relaxing talk about his destination. And Fred closed his eyes and he smiled, and his wife told me the story of how he had found Crossroads. And with that, very quietly, Fred was gone. It's like he just stepped across. Now, I could go on about the supernatural things that I think happened in that room. And for some of you, I've talked about some of this stuff that blows my mind. And I can only attribute this stuff as a holy mystery. And I want more. I want more of what the Holy Spirit has to offer. But suffice it to say that because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within him, Fred knew what was on the other side of the veil. And he knew that he would be there in time to tee off. Amen.